I've got my Mai Tai here with a little umbrella in it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh.
Island life.
Island life.
By that, we mean Staten Island.
You see, and I'm finally getting fully acclimated to being bald, so I actually am putting suntan lotion on my head.
Oh,
these
you're
days.
Finally
I'm
just
finally
acknowledging.
Full depth.
You're gleaming the dome there.
Yeah. Gleaming the dome, yes.
When does the interview start, boys?
Welcome to the second WHM Summer Rerun. We got the whole gang here to introduce Indiana Jones.
And John Rhys Davies, all the way to Staten Island. Oh, look at all these racists.
No, there's good people there, too.
The ferry was beautiful, but everything else sucks.
You know, I saw a thing the other day, and so by the time this airs, this will be months ago, but some, like, skis head downtown got busted for charging a group of tourists $400 to ride the Staten Island Ferry.
Are you kidding me?
Inside joke for no one who's visited here before. That boat's fucking free.
Also, a hot dog is not $30.
Yeah, another dude got busted for that down at the World Trade Center. They were like, oh yeah, $30 for this hot dog, which that one is on you, tourist.
Oh, yes. What hot dog ever? Unless Hannibal made the hot dog.
Yeah. He puts a lot of craftsmanship into that stuff.
Exactly right.
Oh, this hot dog was made up of a very rude person.
That sounds like a racist Japanese guy.
That's what he sounds like.
In your head.
Yeah, jeez, yikes.
So this episode, one of the like all-time heaviest hitters in show history. We broke the 10-year rule for this. What the fuck was this for?
This was
an anniversary.
Yeah, I think this was our second year anniversary.
Oh, was that what it was? Yeah. When we were doing anniversary shows, which we didn't do for the first year, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, why would you celebrate your one
first year episode?
Celebrating a year on the air.
We did, actually. We did Wired Again.
Oh, you're totally right.
Wow, we pat ourselves on the back a lot.
Sure do.
Sure do enjoy doing what we do.
Welcome to Victory Laps on We Hate Movies.
So, yeah, this is, you know, the Ray Winstone impressions are here. The Sala impressions are all over the
interdimensional
place.
Interdimensional aliens.
Yeah, that's in the actual movie, though. We didn't make that part up.
The shame and disappointment for Steven Spielberg.
Okay. Was this the episode where Sebulba is Available was invented?
It's entirely possible. Yeah. Or maybe the glitter duel of the dicks, I forget.
Yeah, well, you find out, listener.
Yeah, that's true. So enjoy Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Where do you begin with a movie like this? This is a movie that I'm pretty sure everybody has seen.
Yeah, it's universally seen.
But. Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, no matter what it is, I mean, even now, if they were to make a fifth one of these fucking movies, I'd have to go see it.
Of course you would.
Yeah, it's Indiana Jones. You gotta see it.
Does everybody know that there's a thing that they wanted to do five movies right from the outset? Yeah. That's a thing.
No, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they had like they were going to do five, and that's like, you know, what they had intended in the 80s or whatever.
Did they intend the Crystal Skull in the 80s?
No.
I don't think so. That's a
what happened? Did life get in the way? just raising family. Like, yeah, we wanted to make five of them, but just I don't know.
I don't think the technology was there to make a shitty looking plastic skull prop.
John Hurt was the one holdout for this movie. This script was written in 1987, and he's just like, I'm busy.
So I'm going to wait till I'm really old and decrepit.
Oh, that's an acting decision. I think we should listen to him. Let's wait a little bit.
Let's wait a decade.
He's one of several people that does nothing in this movie.
It's a really this movie turns into a really crappy role-playing game with a really useless party. Because it's just, you've got your main characters, and then it's like, you meet this guy in the village, and he's got a pretty cool power, and he comes along with you, and then there's a blacksmith who's got some good shit,
and then there's a shitty greaser that no one wants to come along anyway, but he's going to be the one that attracts all the young kids to your game, so you have to bring him.
You got
to
get that neophyte fighter in the group.
Yeah, I mean, they each have their powers. One has greed. One has cool, and one has complete fucking madness.
Ray Winston does have a level 10 greed in this movie.
Gold. Oh, I love me gold. Oh, my sweet, pretty, beautiful gold.
Jonesy, leave so I can be naked with the gold.
He would fuck some of those gold bars if given the opportunity.
If there's like one of those gold monkeys, he'd fuck that gold monkey.
Come here, gold monkey. I'm gonna fuck you.
I'm gonna bugger this gold monkey for a second.
I'm gonna lick my sweaty lips while I do it. He's a fucking pig in this movie.
He would Scrooge McDuck that treasure. Swim around.
I just was gonna say that.
But I believe his voice is more of a glum gold.
I'll tell you this, though. If he's swimming around in a gold pool, you're definitely seeing Ray Winstone in one of those European-style banana hammocks.
Oh, like, no.
Come on, gold pool.
Sexy beast, yeah. Right?
Oh, it's so hot in front of this gold pool. It's so bloody hot.
Fuck you, I'm beautiful.
The sun is reflecting off the gold, and it...
He's getting a sunburn all over his body at all times while this is happening.
The gold's so hot. Now I'm being burned by my gold. Scald me, gold. Burn my skin. But it's a good burn, like a gonorrhea. You know you've been somewhere when you got a pile of gold and gonorrhea. I've lived, haven't I?
I think that's his final decision. Which we'll get to.
So, yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen Indiana Jones and been on an adventure with him.
Is that 88 or 89?
90.
It's 90. 32? No, 89.
It's 89. 89, yeah.
We were talking about this the other day, and I mixed up Back to the Future 3, which was like 93 with
right.
Indy Last Crusade.
Yeah. You put me on the wrong track.
I'm sorry.
And so, Last Crusade, I mean, like, we can go really quickly. Raiders of the Lost Ark, classic, amazing American movie, no doubt about it. Temple of Doom, not fun for some people. A lot of cool stuff in Temple of Doom.
It's historically significant because it was the film that forced the PG-13 rating to be created.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of something, probably something to do with all those heart rips.
Yeah, so many heart rips.
And
I love that the minecart scene.
Minecart's great.
Brilliant.
Good sequence in that movie.
It is also in the Lucas Spielberg overture. It's the first prequel.
Oh, yeah.
It takes place before Raiders.
Yeah, that's right.
Also fantastically racist, which you want.
They just eat monkey brains. Ew, Indian people.
Indy, this country smells.
Shut up and eat your snake soup. You don't want to offend them.
Man, chilled monkey brains. I heard that shit makes you crazy.
Scientific fact.
I don't know where I was reading that, but it just made me think, oh my god, they could have gone batshit insane in Temple of Doom.
Well, that explains Clue a lot better. They just all went fucking crazy.
They're all hallucinating because worms are eating their brains.
Last Crusade, amazing movie. It's not what Raiders of the Lost Ark is, but it's so great. It's a really fun movie. It's like really living in the world that they set up, and it's great.
Now, here's a question about Last Crusade. Is that, as far as we know, because he ain't dead yet, but I mean, let's be realistic. Is that the last time we saw Sean Connery try at a movie?
Untouchables was before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Entrapment? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, the Avengers, no.
No, The Rock.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Stand corrected. But, I mean, it's still a really great movie. Mm-hmm. It's not, I agree it's not better than Raiders, but I'd say it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, that's neck and neck.
It's two really perfect movies that sandwich kind of a little turd in the middle. And then there's this, and it's a bad movie. It made this show. I still think there's a lot of positive parts about it, but... For all the positive parts, there's probably about two or three negative parts to go along with it.
I should also quickly mention that we are obviously forgoing the 10-year rule for the anniversary.
It's a special show. Yeah, of course. And for anyone who's new to the show doesn't know, one thing we try to keep ourselves to on the show as much as possible, and it's been broken before, and it's been being broken today, and will be broken again, but we try to do shows that have been around for at least 10 years or older.
This is really our treat yourself day.
This is treat yourself. Oh, you're so right. Oh, what a great way to put it. We are treating ourselves today.
We try to keep Eric, myself, and Chris separated as much as possible. We don't have all four of us around. It just gets ugly.
We can't sit on the same couch, I'll tell you that much.
Because everybody gets handsy.
All right, so this flick is Indiana Jones is picking up that teaching gig again. Do we start at the beginning? I mean, I will say this about the beginning of this movie. It changes the format of an Indiana Jones movie, which in a way is kind of like the intro of an Indiana Jones movie up until this one is like the intro of a James Bond movie. There's like a separate action set piece that may or may not have something to do with the rest of the movie, mm-hmm. but for the most part, it doesn't. That's what those indie movies have. This one, though, starts right in. You get major characters, major plot points, and the villain revealed all within like 5 minutes.
And it opens on, instead of, you know, sometimes they would like to do like a mountain that sort of looks like the Paramount Mountain.
Right, yeah.
This time they do it with a big old CGI prairie dog hole or whatever.
That just tells you what the fuck. Like, it's been 13 years. However long. I'm so excited to see this movie again.
It's been math ago.
It's been a lot of math ago. And you just see this fucking computer meerkat like, all hope is dead. See you later.
I will say this, though. This is the third time I've seen this movie. I saw it twice in the theaters and then that was it. I had a distinct impression built in my brain that prairie dog smiles at him. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. But yeah, I kind of had like this prairie dog like peeps up like, top of the morning to you, Indy. Just fucking goes away. That doesn't happen. But yeah, which is a shame because you're introduced to computer effects right at the beginning of this movie. And that's something that, you know, this franchise was known for having great practical effects strewn throughout the whole thing. And this is... this is Computer Town, unfortunately, which really sucks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, the whole series is supposed to be, like, old-school entertainment. And they do
like,
a lot
like
of...
the serials.
Yeah, like the serials. I mean, there's, like, a lot of references here. You can see a lot of John Ford stuff here. And towards the end, you see, like, Tarzan and fucking, like, Errol Flynn swashbucklers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the fact, like... and what was so cool about those other movies was that you had the practical old-school effects to go with the old-school ideas. But now we have this fucking CGI everywhere, and it's definitely the Gobbler who is to blame for this, I feel.
Yeah, it is Attack of the Gobbler. Because I think it's known and admitted to that the Gobbler is responsible for the whole ancient aliens element. Mm-hmm. And when you got ancient aliens, you of course have a spaceship that's going to take off. And if you have a spaceship taking off in 2008, it's going to be a fucking computer spaceship. I mean, who's kidding who here? So I think, you know, Spielberg had said, like, he wanted to keep the whole, you know, it's practical effects. It's a very back-to-basics movie. In a lot of ways, it is. He's the DP that he hired to shoot the movie, studied the way the original trilogy was shot to make it, you know, replicate the look of the film and stuff. So that part you can control. If you got a fucking huge city-side spaceship that's going to take off, you're using a goddamn, you know, MacBook Pro on this fucker.
Just to, we're going to the differences a little bit, just to talk about that a little more. The fact that they use these aliens that are, like, responsible for starting, like, all mankind societies and civilizations and all that.
Right.
Sort of goes against, for me, I feel like it sort of goes against the original movies that were very, like, sanctimonious about God. Like God exists in those movies and it's, like, a big element to it. So, now, what I wonder, so God must, did God, I guess, I don't know if God, so God exists, did he create these interdimensional aliens that then shits around and starts up civilization?
It's like Scientology meets creationism. Like, that's what we're dealing with here.
It's confusing.
Humans and God aliens living together, learning lessons and having adventures.
I don't care, Steven. I just want all the aliens. And I want computer effects. And I want little computer animals that are adorable. And I want you to grease my gobbler. Grease it good. Get in there. Crisco made this special for me.
Crisco's George Lucas Gobbler Lube.
Oh, God.
Goblube.
But to that, I would say this, right? If the whole idea is like these are serialized stories and they're just going to be told and there's really no kind of continuity to them in a way. And again, it's sort of like a reference to the James Bond franchise. I just bought that box set, so I'm just Bond.
You're all Bond. We're all Skyfall crazy over here.
Oh, yeah. But
some would say you're in bondage.
I am. I'm of James human bondage. No, but this idea of like, okay, every story's kind of like a reset, right? So it's like, all right, he's doing God stuff in that original trilogy.
See, that's the problem. Like, viewing this as a reset is wrong because it references those old movies nonstop. Mm-hmm. And that's why it can't get me out. It's just reminding me of a better movie.
You know? That arc in that, like, because they go to Area 51. I mean, you've seen the sequence, you've seen the movie. You don't have to go into the whole thing. But they go into Area 51. Indy finds the crystal skull, and it's all the different boxes. And I think it's not even like, because I was watching this with my girlfriend. She's like, oh, did that say really small Ark of the Covenant? Like, no, it's really overt. I'm like, really? And they show like Ark of the fucking Covenant.
A box explodes. It pops out like a WrestleMania logo. Apparently, I didn't notice this. I was reading up, you know, on the internet about this movie, and apparently there's a replica of Moses' staff.
Oh,
from
really?
You know, the Moses movie. What is
Ten
that?
Ten Commandments.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, there's a replica of Moses' staff in there too. Which, what does that fucking say? Why is that hanging out in Area 51? The American government.
Aliens
owns
made that,
that
too.
Yeah, probably. That's what this is saying.
Moses' real name was Kremulak. The alien. And this is where we're introduced to Ray Winstone. And the thing is, like, all right, so there's been a long period of
treasure.
There's been a long period of time between the last movie and this, with 20 years.
Right.
And we do a cool thing where it's like, it's not the 40s anymore. It's almost the 60s. So we're not, like, pretending Indiana Jones is any younger than he is. But he's had all these adventures we have no idea about. And they all involved Ray Winstone.
Totally. It's like he got a fucking dog partner and they had all sorts of wacky adventures throughout the last decade. I mean, it's supposedly been exactly 10 years,
yeah.
I think, is the deal. They say something about... is it 10 years? When is Last Crusade?
It can't be because the Nazis are still around.
Yeah.
And this takes place in... In 1957, so 10 years would be 1947.
Okay. So it's 45 or 44 kind of a thing?
Yeah, or earlier. I don't know. It's definitely pre-1945, I can tell you that much. From the state of Berlin alone.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, you know what? Sorry. They reference an adventure 10 years ago, but the adventure 10 years ago, 1947, was the Roswell incident. That is the ridiculous thing in this movie that they put out there, that Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, is involved with the crash in Roswell, New Mexico.
They bring him in on a bus to check out the remains. But why? He's an archaeologist. He specializes in Judeo-Christianity.
Yeah.
What does he have to do with this?
Hey, get that Jones fella on the phone. This might be some sort of angel.
Hey, who's that guy that found that ghost box? Bring him in.
What are we talking? Shroud of Turin? Can't touch it. That's all he does. Rock of Gibraltar or bust? That would have been a good one. He's looking for the Rock of Gibraltar.
Can't find the goddamn rock.
He is a grumbly old fuck in this movie. It's kind of great.
I'll tell you this, though. And everybody's like, oh, Harrison Ford's a grumbly this, that, and the other thing. That was like the big criticism in this movie. Find me a fucking time when he wasn't a grumbly old fuck. You know when he was a grumbly old fuck? His cameo in American Graffiti. he hadn't been George Lucas's houseman for like 6 months. He's in this movie. I want a drag race. I don't give a fuck. Like, he is grumbled his way through a 40-year career, okay?
And Solo's temperamental, too.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Oh, no, his entire career has been, I don't give a fuck.
Like that. The man has mastered becoming a millionaire movie star without giving a lick of care to what you're doing.
The man walked into getting frozen in carbonite, presumably for the rest of his existence, and said, fuck it.
Oh, yeah, you love me? I know.
Fuck it. All right, see you later, honey.
I'm going to weep about it. I'm going to get frozen in carbonite.
He didn't want to be frozen with tears on his face. That would make all those collectible figurines a lot shittier.
Han Solo is prepared to die with dignity. And, you know, we got to respect that.
Oh, lady, you want a handkerchief? I'm about to be fucking frozen.
Yeah, you want him to fall in love right then and there before he goes to his death pit? You got to... He's got to be like, he's got to keep a little distance between this chick.
How many of those Indiana Jones adventures that we don't get to see are probably better than the adventure in this movie?
Oh, any of them.
Probably except for young Indiana Jones.
I would like to put out there, though, with all this like alien chit-chat and this, that, and the other thing, this Indiana Jones movie is Fox Mulder's favorite Indiana Jones
oh,
movie.
For sure.
He's sitting there like, oh my God, Scully, they're talking about Roswell. Isn't that great?
That's not how that happened.
That's totally incorrect.
But yeah, so, and yeah, it's just undercover blues syndrome, and it's just like, oh, remember Tahiti when I was wearing a thong?
You know what I found in Tahiti, Indy? Gold. And gonorrhea. It was my gold-a-rhea summer.
That's stupid.
Winstone turns on him. Indiana Jones gets into a rocket race, or who gives a shit, and winds up in, and we can start here, a town that is made for nuclear testing.
It's a real thing.
No, I know. I'm not saying that. That's
your tone implied, okay, Steven Spielberg, you think, fucking moron. No,
I think that tone is there because he makes it out of this town.
Thank you, Eric. It's very stupid. Of course, we're referring to the infamous nuke the fridge scene, which, by the way, all these people out there that try to replace nuke the fridge, in place of jumping the shark, just fucking stop it. I'm never, ever going to do that. It will always be jump the shark because you know what? The Fonz is more important than Indiana Jones.
Absolutely. That, yeah, I mean, I was going to say that's a bold statement, but then I thought it through.
Because it was a perfectly,
I caught myself.
It's a perfectly sane so like, thing to say.
Wait. For me, Indiana Jones is really important. Oh, but yeah, the Fonz.
The Fonz is responsible for exactly 1.4% of American culture, which is a large percent.
The Fonz is probably also responsible for like a lot of babies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like in the real world, though, people like, you know.
He's a Genghis Khan.
I want to be cool like the Fonz. Yeah. Trying to get with this lady.
Oh, for a minute, I thought you meant like Henry Winkler just went out there and started.
No, he's probably got a sensible number of kids. No, I just mean, you know, a lot of Fonz.
And a not so sensible amount of illegitimate kids.
I just mean a lot of Fonz cosplay. That's all.
So the problem with this fridge is that, okay.
I would say you the fridge has the least amount of problems in this scene.
Right. Okay, the problem with this movie.
It's so he's in this nuclear test site that's set up like suburbia, and a nuke is about to drop. Drops. He puts himself in a fridge, gets blown to shit, and it's a nuke. So he lands like a mile outside of town, opens it up, is able to walk. Isn't bleeding from the mouth?
You know what?
Isn't fucking like...
How is he not getting knocked around?
Yeah.
You know what? You want me to buy that? You want me to suspend disbelief a little bit? Believe that he lives through this? Fine. I need to see broken limbs, and I need to see a concussion. At minimum, he should be vomiting up his teeth as well, I think.
If a Pittsburgh Steeler hits a fucking New York Jet, somebody gets a concussion. If someone's in a fucking refrigerator and it goes through the sky, falls like a bowling ball, falling down the stairs.
It is rolling through the desert. They show impact.
This is 1957, by the way. This is pre-plastic.
Yeah.
That is a fucking iron coffin if I ever saw one. But it's just, that's another one of those things I feel.
Steven. You're going to put that in the movie. I mean, there's just, why would you not put that in the movie? It was my idea.
There has to be a mushroom cloud. We have to see it.
I will say, what the good thing that you get out of that is a very nice image of Indiana Jones standing looking at this mushroom cloud.
Also, turn away! Like, you're just sitting there soaking it in like a suntan.
Dude, it's 1957. All the facts weren't in yet.
But I agree with you, and I'm sure that scene was sold on that image.
Right.
The idea that, oh man, Indiana Jones is just going to walk next to a fucking mushroom cloud.
How about he just walks next to a mushroom cloud? Does he have to be in it initially?
he walks further. If he just stood up and saw it and then just passed out and then 3 months later he's okay,
I kind of want a helicopter to go over his head and the Rolling Stones play. Like, that's a cool movie.
Robert Duvall's yelling shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not from around here, are you?
Where is it you would imagine I am from?
Dr. Jones.
Well, the way you're sinking your teeth into those wubbies, I should think maybe Eastern Ukraine.
Highest marks. Colonel Dr. Irina Spelko.
Cate Blanchett in this movie.
Good.
Yeah.
Right?
What do we think here?
I mean, here's my issue, is that there's no real... I never feel threatened by her. Like, she's a fine villain, and she's doing her best with this kind of character, but it's a campy villain.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I kind of miss from the other movies, is that there was some sense of threat from, like, pick one. Julian Glover, Michael Byrne, Amrish Puri, all those guys, the villains.
Yeah.
They were all threatening, and you see them kill people.
Yeah.
So there's some sense of, like, here's stakes in this movie. Somebody can die, and it's not just going to be, you know, walking through a nuclear holocaust.
Yeah.
By the way, in Raiders, Belloc, a French archaeologist, is more menacing than Cate Blanchett.
But Cate Blanchett's kind of like, you know that old expression about like a woman eating ketchup popsicle with white gloves and she doesn't get any honor? That's Cate Blanchett as an actress. She could do anything and she walks out looking like a million bucks because she's just that good of an actress. And I mean, like, yeah, I totally agree with you. The character is flawed, but her performance is really good.
Her performance is really good. I mean, yeah, she can polish up a turd and make it look pretty okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, she's done her fair share of bad movies just like anybody else, but, you know, I think it's okay. But I agree with you. It's not a threatening character. And I mean, the most interaction she has as far as like fighting characters is that Shia LaBeouf sword fight. Like, she doesn't really... Am I remembering it wrong? I mean, last night seems like forever ago, but I mean, she doesn't really fight Indiana Jones. Because the other thing that's annoying is, by the end of this movie, she's just resigned herself to, okay, I'm not going to capture them.
Yeah.
Ray Winstone's just going to leave a trail of breadcrumbs, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to follow Indiana Jones to the treasure, because I know that that's the easiest way to do things.
How about not going to the treasure, Indiana Jones? That's exactly what they want. You didn't start this movie looking for this piece of shit like you do other movies.
And that
so
happens,
who cares?
And that happens every movie. Every time you're trying to beat the guy to the treasure, the guy's just following you every fucking time.
Because he has that idea of like, you know, it's like a do no harm type of thing. Like, he feels like he thinks that this Aztec culture has been robbed and he's trying to return this thing to where he thinks it belongs. The big problem here, Indiana Jones, is you take one look at that thing and you know that it's aliens. There's no way this is an Aztec with a tied off head. I know they did body modification, stuff like that. But you know what that skull is? An alien skull. And there's not a single person who's going to tell you otherwise. There's no mystery whatsoever to that. The first time you see that skull in that movie, I was like, well, that's an alien.
You watch Cate Blanchett cut it out of an alien's fucking face in the first five seconds.
That hand, and there's all that dry ice in there.
There are way too many dead aliens in this movie. There's one at Area 51. She has another, I guess, you know, and then she rips its head open.
There's that,
or is it the same one? But like, it's still,
there's that cutaway scene when that aliens go to grocery shopping. It just has a heart attack right in the middle of the mall. It's really unfortunate. Speaking of...
And then Ray Winston comes, oh, that crystal skull in there. You're going to have to rip it up.
I'm going to rip out that alien's golden turds.
Security to JCPenney.
Just a dead alien amongst a pile of slacks.
Ray Winston's trying to rip this skull out of this thing.
They're the only beans made out of pure treasure.
Something's being torn apart by a person over by the St. John's Bay section.
Yeah, Ray Winston was there to pick up some XXL St. John's Bay.
I gotta buy myself some new gold hunting slacks.
They're the only shorts that fit, they do.
You're telling me you're all out of cargo pants.
The one thing that really bugs me about this movie is the patriotism, rah, 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 which happens. It starts just after the Area 51 sequence where Indy's being debriefed by Neil Flynn of Scrubs, of all people, which is a nice little cameo.
You know, you get work where you can take it. Absolutely.
It's better than fucking The Middle.
Well, it happens even before that. There's an early scene where after they shoot the five guys guarding Area fucking 51, they go right. They're doing like a pan up. And the American flag literally blanks out the screen for a minute. What are you gonna do? I mean, I don't care about that.
I don't care about that. But Indiana Jones is apolitical. He's an archaeologist that's trying to get things in museums so the world can do it. He's kind of a man of the world in the first three movies. But in this, he's an American spy for some reason.
And he won all these medals for some reason.
Fought in the war. But in all those original movies, he's a guy that is like trying to do things for himself, for the archaeological community. And he just kind of runs afoul of Nazis. And everybody hates Nazis. Like he's not a guy that's fighting the war for America.
Well, I like the idea in all those other movies is also he wants to get these things for historical purposes. Mm-hmm. He wants to put them in museums so everybody can see them. Everybody can study them.
Yeah.
Versus people who want it for very specific ideas of, like, corrupt power.
Yeah, nations.
It's like, I could get this stuff for the good of mankind and thwart Hitler at the same time, two birds, one stone. He specifically has a problem with authority figures. He's got a problem with the U.S. government in those movies. Top men, you know? He's being shut out.
They call him Colonel Jones at one point. It's like, come on, everybody.
It's a really weird, like, what have you been doing since we last saw you?
And in Last Crusade, they finished their mission. Sure, they kill some Nazis, but they've got no evidence of having seen the Holy Grail.
No.
Anything like that. So, I mean, what do? Just go down to, like, your local police station? Yeah, I killed 5 Nazis. Where's my medal?
You redeem it? You get the UPCs from those dead Nazis?
Yeah, you bring in some Tarantino-esque scalps.
Here they are. Where's my application to sign up?
Well, you're a savage.
See, there's no way to prove these are Germans. So.
DNA really didn't happen yet. Sorry.
Quick, hilarious detail. Ray Winstone says that the reason he's working with these Soviets is because he's got a serious gambling debt.
Does he? I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And he wants the communists to take over the world so that that capitalism, that gambling debt will just be washed away.
Because he says something, because he's like apologetic for turning on Indiana Jones, and he's like, sorry, Indy, that tab's run out. I got a lot of gambling debts,
He says, I'm a capitalist. Like, that's just like a blanket term. Like, yeah, I'll fuck you over for that.
But he calls him Jonesy. Hello, Jonesy.
Oh, it's the worst. Jonesy and Mac.
I guarantee you Indiana Jones would be like, don't call me Jonesy. Like,
just
I really
please.
Don't do it.
Indy's worse than enough. Like, I'm fucking named after the family dog. Will you please stop with your Jonesy?
The dog? You were named after the dog.
Open up Michelson, review chapter 4. When I come back, we'll discuss the difference between migration and exodus.
Then we go back to campus life.
Campus life was always one of my favorite parts of these Indiana Jones movies. And this isn't terrible.
No, it's good stuff.
But the bummer about it all is because he's been, you know, ousted from the U.S. government. Now he's blacklisted and the FBI is investigating him and everything because they think he's a commie. That's, you know, straight up, you know, commie red scare. And so Jim Broadbent's got to come in the middle of a lecture and tell him that he was fired.
And he treats Jim Broadbent like shit.
Absolute human garbage in this movie.
And then he's like, I fucking resigned for you. He's like,
I don't even think he really feels bad about it. He's like, just come back to my house for some scotch.
It cuts. There's a mournful face, and then it just cuts back to the house.
Them just drinking. That was another thing, too. Indiana Jones at home. That's an interesting story.
Yeah, but he's just always drinking with professors, talking about really smart things.
I feel like at some point, if the timelines matched up better, Michael Douglas and Wonder Boys could come over, and they would hang out and talk about what it's like to work at a college.
I'd watch that movie in a fucking heartbeat.
Oh, are you kidding me? That would be phenomenal. Just bitching about the dean.
And then the 1950s U.S. government catches a joint between them and throws them into some dystopian subterranean prison.
They're finished because of Mary Jane.
Yeah.
So also, by the way, the whole thing is Cate Blanchett wants this skull because she is...
Come on, skull!
She's in a division of the Soviet, military or whatever, investigating crystal skulls and other paranormal and psychic activities.
It's kind of the original X-Files.
It kind of is. Stalin was actually very much into this, and especially crystal skulls he had a little interest in, so it matches up nicely.
Just like someone else I know named Adolf Hitler.
Totally, man. He probably learned it from Hitler. He's like, oh, he's interested in that wacky shit, possibly giving him world dominating powers. Maybe I should do that.
Honestly, if you have the resources, why not, right? I mean, you got so many people.
I feel like that's always that thing, right? It's like we have so many people and it's like, oh, what's this guy going to do? Paranormal research division.
I mean, fascism by hand's been working so far, but maybe we should go paranormal with this shit.
We don't need three guys waiting in the truck. Why don't you go find something?
Scully, Stalin wants us to find these crystal skulls.
Mulder, you know that they're lying to you.
Scully, how many fucking things do you need to see before you believe in anything?
At least 8 more.
And a werewolf.
Once you get abducted by aliens for some reason, then I'll magically become the one who believes in everything. That's an amazingly unbelievable turn in that show. Like, she witnesses Mulder get abducted, and then the next season she's like, come on, Robert Patrick, stop being so ignorant. And you're like, now, I just spent 7 years watching you shoot this shit down left and right. Yeah, so she wants it because, and this is a little vague, correct me if I'm wrong, but she's like, they're going to tell us everything. Yeah, it's a window into everything.
And that's another thing of the other movies. Like, all the idols, like, there's a very specific power that they want to get from it, that, and they're going to do something very specific and deadly with it.
Yeah.
In this one, it's just kind of, like, rambling around. We know that these are important skulls. These alien skulls matter. But that's kind of it. We don't really know what they're going to do, what the power is going to be.
Well, the potential power, I think, is that Cate Blanchett wants to use the skulls to somehow do like a mind control of the world, like influence U.S. politicians.
Oh, that's right. It's a real Manchurian Candidate situation.
Yeah, they just want to like get everything under that Iron Curtain.
But I feel like even in those situations, you have to show some sense of what they're working towards. And like, being like, yo, this is what we're going to do, and then not talk about it or show it ever again.
Right.
If this is like the first step in the plan, like step one, obtain Crystal Skull for mind control powers. Step two, get a person in the White House that we have under our control. Like, I feel like that's like his Manchurian Candidate is the movie where, you know, they succeeded in getting the Crystal Skull, you know.
And his name is John F. Kennedy.
Imagine Michael Dukakis was a fucking Manchurian Candidate and he just couldn't get in there.
Whew, dodge that bullet.
No, you know what? I think that would be the problem is like, at the end of the day, they're not going to campaign that well.
Because they're robots.
Yeah, he's like, no. He should pose with the tank. It'll look strong.
Yes, I will pose with the tank. It will make me look strong. I feel like you could spot a Manchurian Candidate a mile away if you really paid attention. I feel like in the age of blogging, you can't have a Manchurian Candidate. All those YouTube videos, someone would put that shit together. Great reason in this movie. It's a great example of why you never say no to Steven Spielberg. He'll fucking kill your character off. They asked Sean Connery, like, hey, Sean Connery, you want to be in this movie? And he was like, nah, I'm retired. It's cool. He's fucking dead in this movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? You don't want to be in this one? Well, if we make another one, it's impossible for you to be in it because you're dead.
Well, and with the other movies, like, we were talking about the home scenes. There was always those scenes, and I loved them, when, like, he's looking over notes, and there's, like, this ominous score in the background. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, and this guy went missing, and all these people got wiped down, all these things. In this one, he's really just talking about how Brody and Sean Connery died. And, like, it's a very sentimental, like, sappy scene instead of this, like, get us amped for this adventure.
Well, this movie is so concerned about the story and the history.
Oh, the
of
legacy
Indiana Jones.
Is all that matters.
But it's also just repeating and repeating and repeating stuff from the other movies. Like, when Shia LaBeouf finally comes around, it's to basically tell him that this professor you were friends with has gone missing. And it's like, where have I fucking heard that before?
Yeah.
This time, it's your father. That time, it's someone else. Yeah.
No, totally. And I mean, all the references like that. Like, okay, Denholm Elliott, the actor that played Brody, is dead in real life. He was dead when they made this movie. So, okay, fine. You know what? Just don't. I don't need a statue of him stopping a speeding car. Like, he's still helping out the team.
Yeah. No,
just let him be fucking dead.
Exactly. He died under tragic circumstances. Like, just have a nice, staid, wonderful thing.
And John Hurt is basically replacing the Marcus Brody role as the absent-minded professor that's in the hands of the enemy that's going cuckoo.
Which you think that's going to be Jim Broadbent, right?
Right.
And you're like, oh, awesome. Jim Broadbent's going to be on this adventure?
No, he has his glass of scotch and he goes home.
The next time you see him, he's like wiping his brow before that shit ass wedding scene.
I kind of really want the NBC show, The Absent-Minded Professor, starring John Hurt.
Now, what chapters did I assign last week? And it's such a shame that he has to act the way he does in this movie, because he's such a phenomenal actor. Mm-hmm. And he's just playing this like comatose Bela Lugosi white zombie looking fucking thing, and you're like, come on, man, give this guy something to do.
So Indy gets on a train and is stopped by everybody's least favorite part of this movie. Like, it's almost like cliche to talk about how terrible he is.
But
Shia LaBeouf in this movie.
And by the way, though, I would disagree with you. I mean, Ray Winstone is my least favorite part of this movie.
That's true.
I find Shia LaBeouf tolerable in this movie. I don't find him tolerable in a lot, and it's just his general face and demeanor, attitude, the way his voice sounds, the way his hair looks.
Yeah, the thing is, he's not the issue. This is a direction decision, for the most part, that I just don't like. And the writing, David Koepp wrote it, I think, right?
Well, everybody had a little finger in this
15
finger.
People. Yeah.
David Koepp's the one that had to take the fucking fall.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, get in there, Koepp. You'll get the writing credit. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you did write this, didn't you?
Hot potato. Fuck. That's what this script was.
You did write this movie.
It wasn't me at all, Ribbit.
But, by the way, the worst part about this is LaBeouf's character's name is Mutt.
And he's dressed like Marlon Brando in The Wild One. So not only are you saying, guess what? This kid is the new Harrison Ford, but which is sort of what this nod is.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Now he's also Marlon Brando?
Like, just pick one to sully. And you know what? Have it be Brando, because he's fucking in the ground by the time this movie came out.
Could you imagine if he saw this movie?
Oh, man, he'd have a fat fit. He would.
I bet. Yeah, he would.
Now I just got like squeals in my head. Like,
he's like that fat vampire that gets killed by Blade with the sunlight. Yeah, that's Marlon Brando watching this movie being oiled up by somebody.
You kind of get that in that, what's that movie? Him, De Niro. The score where he's just in that sauna sweating away. And they're like, well, wait a minute. We haven't turned the sauna on yet.
The air conditioner's on, Marlon. I don't know what's wrong here.
I will say there is at least, and it's kind of, I mean, it is ham-fisted. There's no kind of about it. But I at least appreciated at the end of this movie when you think he's going to pick up that fedora and put it on. And I'm like, no. And then Harrison Ford comes in like, are you kidding me?
It's really just, I'm not dead yet, kid.
Yeah, totally.
But pretty soon.
I'm glad you're there just in case. The problem is, Mutt Williams has Poochie syndrome all over him. It's all about, let's all talk about what Poochie could do. Isn't Poochie interesting? How cool is fucking Poochie?
He's got a leather jacket, and he's cracking wise.
They should have Rastafarianed him by, 6%.
Because even Harrison Ford has to be like, wow, Mutt, that was pretty cool. I don't know. I don't know about you, audience, but I think we should give him a hand.
But even before you find out that this is it's his son, like, he's already doing fatherly shit in this movie that Indy isn't. It's not the Indy we know. No. Like, when he steals the beer from when they're in the diner, he steals a beer. Mutt steals a beer,
right?
Which is something that Indy would have done probably.
Yeah.
But then, I would say it's very specific. He's like, no, put it back.
It's possible that Indiana Jones is trying to protect his part-time job. Because you don't want to get caught drinking alcohol with underage students. You're fucked.
That's true.
He's not a student.
Yeah, he's fired at this point anyway.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, that's right. He did get fired. Yeah, you're right. That is very stupid.
You know, I think Indy should have just gone with him to the outskirts of town, pulled out his gun, shot him, and shrugged.
That's the Indy I know. Nice try, kid. And then he just walks back.
Lead me into danger, huh?
He buries him. You lost today, kid. Doesn't mean you have to like it.
Taking a piss on the pilot.
That would be amazing.
He
was my what?
Oh.
By the way, Mutt Williams.
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he left.
There's a race through the campus.
Oh, yeah, there is. It's a danger race.
It's a big, dangerous race. And
would you call it a pod race? How about a drag race? I made one of those movies, too. Can a chinchilla be driving the car?
So they do this chase through the college, and one of my least favorite jokes, because that's my other, I'm repeating myself by saying my problem with this movie. There's nothing but problems. But there...
Chris Cavan's nothing but problems.
Nothing but trouble, just me, Dan Aykroyd, in some haunted amusement park.
Well, nothing but problems I was imagining as your double rap LP, which is be nothing but problems.
You're rapping about long lines at a movie concession stand?
Nobody would buy it. Be sold at a fucking, like, what, like a... I don't even know what.
Back of your car. Continue.
Sorry.
So this is drive through. So they're in the library, and they like skid through the entire library on this motorcycle.
Yeah.
And it stops at the end, and this Poindexter is sitting there like, Dr. Jones, do you know what the fucking Mayan word for llama maca is? And like, it just, it makes no sense. And it's one of those stupid ass jokes where it's just like, well, something exciting happened, but obviously we don't give a shit.
Well, the comedy in this movie is really off base, and it's much more of a, the comedy ratio in old Jones movies. You're like 35%. Here it's like 62.
Yeah, there's way too many. It's a lot of like elbowing you, and it doesn't work at all. Sacrificing the more serious tones that the other movies have is a real big mistake.
And this is in this motorcycle chase. It's another one of just the recycling the hits, you know, where Ford is assigned the Connery role, where Marcus Brody's head falls off. He looks all like, and you know, Shia LaBeouf was smiling. It's just like,
but
Crusade.
Stop being so damn cool. I would love it if when the end of this movie, the fucking sky's opening up and the interdimensional who gives a shit. And then Shia LaBeouf just looks at Harrison Ford and he's like, I have to go now. My planet needs me. And he just lets go of a rock and gets sucked up into this thing.
Man, I wish.
Marion, wow. Don't look directly at it.
Hey, Marion, I guess Mutt was from another planet. I guess, Indy.
You believe yet, Scully?
I'm getting there. Okay. Karen Allen in this movie. Yay, nay.
Yay.
Okay. Now, okay, I'll tell you this, though. It's way better than the other option.
Yeah.
Capture.
Indy.
Indy, I don't like the way these Mayans are looking at me.
Kate Capshaw didn't talk to Steven Spielberg for like what had to be, what, 3 months in house? Because she probably wanted to be in for it.
Yes.
She's like, Kate, I'd rather just bring Karen back. She was actually kind of, she had a better rapport.
That is a tough conversation to have.
Well, I mean, Marion Ravenwood is way more of an excellent character than
Billy something or other. It's Billy something.
Yeah, she's got a boy's name. But
Kate, you're kind of done with acting, aren't you?
You don't really need to.
Well, I guess so, Slam. Ew, Steven, there's a spider in here.
I'll kill it if you will stay away from this movie.
I mean, Marion Ravenwood drinking dudes under the table in that first movie. I mean, that's fucking badass.
Why is she drinking in this movie?
That's what I want. Mm-hmm. Now she is the role. Well, you know why? Because she's been ruined by motherhood. She's been broken by, you know, just like living the quiet life. Raisin Mutt.
Mutt, whose real name, by the way, is Henry Williams. Hank Williams.
He's Hank Williams.
Whoa.
Musical interlude.
One thing that Indiana Jones does bust his balls for in this movie, and it's so justified, is every time he's like, you know what? Will you please chill the fuck out? You're not as tough as you think you are. Like every, you know, Harrison Ford's like, oh, your mom, blah, blah, blah. And he like steps up, like throws shit off the table. Like, that's my mom you're talking about. And he's like, sit down. I'm not. If I told you all the shit I've done in my life, I've seen people's face melt off their skulls.
You're
okay?
A fucking child. Sit down.
I had a book signed by Hitler and I didn't fucking sweat. All right?
I saw a man rip another man's heart out in front of me. I saw a man get lowered into lava like it was nothing.
I once rode in a dirigible with Sean Connery. Eat that shit.
And that motherfucker was in a sidecar. I put James Bond in a fucking sidecar.
I outran a boulder.
I threw a Nazi off a Zeppelin. Nah, maybe that's not as impressive, but I had a great quip afterwards.
It's a big hunt through the rainforest is what this movie is.
Well, we meet up with William Hurt, which is something. John Hurt. Yeah,
John Hurt. I wish William Hurt was in this movie.
Yeah.
And he was his pill-popping character from The Big Chill. That would be great.
William Hurt would have been a great, like, a Paul Freeman kind of evil doctor type character.
Yeah.
He would have been great.
He could play villainous pretty well.
He would
absolutely have been.
He would be the evil professor that helped out Cate Blanchett.
You know where he doesn't get any villain points, though? That accent he's rocking in, is it History of Violence?
History of Violence, yikes.
Oh, man, that accent. He's a big crime lord, huh?
He got nominated for an Oscar for that movie.
Yeah, I know. What was that about?
You know, that's a good point you mentioned, Chris, about a doctor helping them. Like, a lot of those other movies had that. Like, Belloc was a French guy that was helping the Nazis. Yeah. And then Julian Glover was, like, Donovan was like, I don't care about the Nazis. It's just, and you got Mac for this now? Like, why couldn't they have, like, you have a John Hurt type of character that's like a professor that's liberal, really liberal, you know, and helping the communists.
Well, why is it so hard? Like, we you know, through interviews and whatnot, things come out about things that never were with this movie, right? One of them was they wanted to have a bunch of the old characters at the end of the movie be guests in the wedding scene. One of them was John Rhys-Davies as Sala. And he turned it down because he's like, that's kind of a disgrace to a beloved character, having him sit in church and give a round of applause. Look, Lord of the Rings was long over with.
Yeah.
Have Sala be the dude like, ring, ring, hey, Sala, I got to go to the rainforest or something. Want to come with me and return this alien head?
Alien? That sounds like bullshit, Indy. Goodbye. Click.
There's a cut. Oh, man, Indiana Jones getting turned down.
There's a cutscene where Sala beats up a bunch of bridesmaids to try to catch the bouquet.
I've been lonely for so long.
I don't know.
So we're going
through the ruins where we're in South America. We got to find some guy who had the original skulls or something like that.
Well, the whole thing is this. They don't know. When they start the mission, Shia LaBeouf's not like, hey, come on and help me find this skull. The whole thing is my mom's friend, Ox, who you were also buddies with, the John Hurt character, has been kidnapped by these dudes. And now they also kidnapped my mother, so you have to go help me get these people back. Like, that's what they're doing there.
Yeah.
And through the course of all this, they discover the whole thing about the crystal skulls. And I guess John Hurt's been a crystal skull fanatic for quite some time. Like, I don't know what role he's supposed to have played in Shia LaBeouf's life. Like, we learned that Marion Ravenwood was married to a dude, Mr. Williams.
British flying ace.
Right, who raised this kid. But then you just got Ox hanging out all the time.
He was like the father, like the cool professor that was like telling him like cool stories.
And stooping your mother.
And stooping his mother.
I kind of get mom's gay friend out of this whole scenario. Like, he comes by and like they're drinking coffee and they're just having a good old time.
Oh, it's like Rosemary's friend and Rosemary's baby. That dude that always comes around, and John Cassavetes kind of hates his guts.
Well, John Cassavetes can't suffer homosexuals, that's for sure. Heaven forbid he ever had to.
So, yeah, they go down to Peru, and they're looking for John Hurt in this, like, mental institution or something. And this nun is just like, oh, yeah, he was back here, but, he's not there anymore. And they walk into this big room, this big holding cell, which I don't understand this. They walk by, like, this long, like, Hannibal Lecter-esque hallway of all these people, like, spitting and throwing cum at Shia LaBeouf and all that shit. But then they're like, this is where we've kept John Hurt. And it's this huge room.
It's a white guy mansion. Like, honestly, that's what it is. It's like Peru. Everybody's crammed in like fucking cockroaches. But this white man comes along and, oh, he's got to have a double bed.
And it's the same exact scene from Last Crusade where they're looking on the floor for the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Where instead of just like, you know how exciting that was? And I got to find this book. I got to find this place on the floor.
Yeah.
And this one, it's fucking Shia LaBeouf sweeps the floor.
Make yourself useful.
He's dusting.
Yes. You are sweeping that floor pretty cool, right, audience? Come on.
Oh, look at that floor. It's clean.
Look what Mutt did for me, everybody.
Thanks, Mutt. Mutt, you're the best assistant I've ever had.
By the way, this is the only movie of this series, I think, maybe Temple of Doom does it, where Indiana Jones does not have to use a book at all.
No, yeah. Never. Doesn't even fucking
don't
crack
even
it.
Look at
doesn't
one. Doesn't have to find there's one. No. Doesn't have to do anything. So they find that there's a map of some ruins. They go to the ruins. They fight a guy who's like doing parkour. And
FYI, one of those dudes who is doing the parkour fighting, is Ernie Reyes Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow.
He's back, huh?
Who's that?
They found him in a ruin.
He's in that Ninja Turtles 2.
Say no more. I know.
The pizza delivery dude or whatever. Yeah. What else is he in? I feel like, did we
surf
do something?
Surf Ninjas with
Leslie Nielsen? He's in Surf Ninjas, absolutely.
We didn't do an episode of a movie of his.
No, he's also a big stuntman, obviously. He's doing stunts there.
Yeah, too. But it's kind of just weird. I didn't. You can't tell it's him. But I'm looking through the credits, I was like, Ernie Reyes Jr., okay. Made me think about how possibly Ninja Turtles 2 is a better movie than this.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's not even a contest.
Although I'll tell you this, though, and Chris, you were there for it. We did a Ninja Turtles rewatch. That movie still sucks.
The second one?
It doesn't hold up. The second one.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
The second one's certainly not as good. The first one, I think, is really good. That second one... But it's still better than this.
Can we talk about the sand pit scene?
And, yes, we can.
And the sole purpose it serves?
Well, yeah. They all get captured. Mutt and Indy find the skull. They get captured by not communists.
big difference.
And, you know.
There actually is. But
Kate Blanchett, like, bullshit hypnotizes Indiana Jones with the crystal skull, which is just one of those dumb things. And then Mutt, because he's so fucking cool, busts everybody out with one punch and pushes the table over. Now Marion Ravenwood, Indiana Jones, John Hurt, and Mutt are all running around the jungle, and Indy and Marion get caught in the sand trap.
Right. And the sole purpose of this scene is to get them away from all the Soviets so they can have a scene where she tells him that Mutt is his kid. Way to go, David Koepp and everyone else who didn't take the fall for this screenplay. Like, are you kidding? How cheap is that? Like, such a distraction for this one little plot hole.
And it goes on forever.
There's a really dumb line she has. She goes, well, you know what Mutt's real name is, right? It's Henry.
It's a good name.
And she goes, Henry Jones Jr. Henry Jones III is like, well, no, his last name's Williams. is his name Henry? Because he can't be the third if his last name is fucking Williams.
I mean, I guess the whole thing is that it's his, that is his name. Yeah, that's his family.
Oh,
I see. He's got Jones blood coursing through those veins.
But on paper, it's Williams because she got pregnant and then married and just like
did that
it
dude
as,
now? Did that dude?
No.
No?
Yeah. I think he did. I think she. Like, oh, he was a good guy to take me in, especially since it was the 50s.
I'm surprised they didn't just shoot me in the fucking head.
Which was your legal right as a man back then. You were able to shoot a woman in the head if she was pregnant and didn't have a wedding ring.
It is true. She would be put into a mental institution at least.
It would have been the changeling. Or just
so,
changeling.
Probably the biggest action set piece in this movie, there's parts of it that we were discussing before we went on the air, and I think we disagree on, but the big Jeep chase through the rainforest that consists of the famous moments of the sword fight, the always hated monkey vine scene, and the, what I think, pretty amazing denouement of the fucking ant scene.
Ants are awesome.
The ant scene's good.
That is brutal, and it's fabulous.
But that's the thing is, but I have to slog through like in the back when they're driving through before it really gets rough. There's like this Kramer versus Kramer scene in the back of this truck where Indiana Jones is like, well, why didn't you make sure he went to school more? Well, you weren't there, and it just goes to fuck on forever.
Yeah, totally. Then, I don't need the Jones family domestic
who
arguments.
Would ever give a shit? And then you rip open the thing, and then he actually gets the stuff. And when he gets the stuff, I understand it does get better than that. But I'm still just kind of like unengaged. I'm just kind of like, well, I've seen this scene before, like fucking a moving caravan. It's kind of like the racers on Endor.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought about that a lot.
Yeah, yeah, totally, because they're on opposite sides of like the tree line and everything.
And you can see things moving through it.
Well, you're going to have them separated by a tree line, right? I mean, Steven, you're going to do that, right?
Wait, there's no Ewoks in this movie? Are you fucking kidding me, Steven?
Well, Steven, what you can do there is you just make those savage natives into your like Ewoks, and they can sometimes help out a little bit.
There's a trivia on IMDb. Like, honestly, this is one of those movies where everyone kind of disowned it the second it came out. Like, everyone's like, his fault.
There's
a big paper trail on this movie.
It's not me. It was him.
Yeah. And Spielberg came out and was like, I never liked the aliens. That was always George's idea. And he kind of pads like, but George is my best friend, so I just had to do this garbage.
Yeah,
no, it's kind of a fuck you to George Lucas.
It is a fuck, and I mean, you know, if anyone can handle a fuck you, it's George Lucas. But I mean, you know, it is kind of a shitty thing. But honestly, if I was in that boat and everyone's accusing me, because you know, at the end of the day, you know, George Lucas just has a screenwriting credit and he's like an executive producer or whatever. At the end of the day, that shit falls to the director of the movie, and because George Lucas, you know, renounces being a director because even that's fucking blasé for him. That falls on you. And honestly, if I'm accused of destroying a classic franchise, I'll fucking throw that turkey neck son of a bitch under the bus.
And, dude, you're Steven fucking Spielberg, man. You call your own shot. If ever there was a director who can say whatever the fuck he likes, it's Steven Spielberg.
Agreed. I don't know why you're letting Gobbleface bully you.
Speaking of pointing fingers, Shia LaBeouf talked a bunch of shit about this movie after it came out.
He talks shit about every movie.
And if he dies anytime before he's 65, Spielberg had a finger in it. FYI.
Well, he got doubly pissed off about it because he was talking shit about that movie.
Yeah.
And then he talked shit about
the Transformers.
Yeah, and then didn't... Was it him or was it Megan Fox that said working for Michael Bay is like working for the Nazi?
Oh, that was Megan Fox. Fox. No,
yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Because she'll never work in anything legitimate ever again. Steven Spielberg fucking got her out of that third movie.
By the way, this is why you do not make a sequel to such beloved movies so many years after. Yeah. They never are going to capture the same magic or hold up, and the expectations are through the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, the Star Wars prequels suck. This kind of sucks a bit. But, like, it's just you're going to let everyone down.
But what does that say about us as the people getting amped up for these movies? Like, do we go in? I don't remember what I was thinking going into this movie. But, I mean, I don't remember where my expectations were. But, where, like, you know.
I think I was pretty excited. And it's they should have just not done it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just come up with something new.
Well,
make something sort of like Indiana Jones, not Indiana Jones, but like a fucking adventure movie. They're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
Well,
and also, like, this is probably the least, as far as like character development goes, this is probably the least as far as Harrison Ford and as Indiana Jones. In the last one, like, I love that dynamic between him and Sean Connery where he's got to get rid of these father issues he has. Like,
right.
And these, it kind of brings to light all of his issues with authority. And then this movie, you could have done this thing about him growing old and actually like having to face that. But instead, you just have this bullshit of him like telling Shia LaBeouf to like drink his milk or whatever the fuck. Because it's just
You need calcium, kid.
Oh, go to school. There's a whole fucking thing in one of the things where he's like, you gotta go back to school. We're being chased by a bunch of fucking people with guns, you know.
You gotta drink your milk every day. How do you think I did all those tricks? I'm 65 years old.
How do you think I've become bulletproof? I drink milk.
My hips are impervious to everything because of milk.
Those you gotta go back to school conversations are something else. All right, here's a question. How does a water vehicle go over three waterfalls and Ray Winstone ain't dead yet? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a vehicle without a top goes over three waterfalls. The passengers are three people over the age of 60 and a fat guy and one kid that's in pretty good shape.
He being Ray Winstone, walks ashore from this triple drop holding a flashlight in his fat fist. How are you holding on to that?
I bounced off all the rocks with my blubber, me did. All I could do is think of that gold. I wouldn't walk towards the light, Indy. I wanted to see the gold.
So I inflated myself like Kirby, and I just bounced off everything.
He eats fire and spits it at people.
Three waterfalls is like a nuke the fridge. And, like, I can buy Harrison Ford falling off a dam. There's no sharp rocks at the bottom. Yeah. He only falls off one dam.
A swan dive into a dam. I believe that.
Yeah. I can believe in Temple that raft that they slide down the whatever the fuck, and it kind of glides for a while. I don't know why, but I believe that.
They take it off an airplane onto a mountain and then into like a waterfall.
Right. Yeah, that's what happens.
I'll believe that more because...
It's this crap of like, this is the fourth time we're doing this and it's going to be big, big, big. And you're like, just
Steven, you're going to want to make it a little bit bigger than what you just described.
Steven, I'm sorry. Did I hear you right? The two waterfalls? only two waterfalls. Oh, okay. Two waterfalls. Well, there are monkeys in the jungle. They could help them. I'm just telling you that monkeys are helpful creatures.
Steven, have you ever thought about setting it on a volcano planet? I mean, maybe that's where these aliens are from. I'm just saying, you know, use it if you feel like it. I'm saying you should, but...
Look, Steven, there's aliens. You could find a lightsaber up in that little temple, and then they could just kill all of the aliens.
I'll tell you one thing. One thing that Spielberg definitely blamed on George Lucas. Well, Lucas is all about Karen Allen, and it's his baby. I can't be doing it.
He's like doing a bad impression into a voice recorder. Like,
I'm sorry, Steven, but she just can't be in a Karen. It's so much better.
See, honey? Look, he said it.
Don't you talk to my fucking wife. She's a great actress. And Temple of Doom's the best.
He's going back. Yeah. So they get to this final area here.
They get to the last level. Right. They're about to fight Sephiroth. And.
Sephiroth.
And yeah, they go inside this thing. It's actually a nice graphic of like these four gigantic columns coming up.
There's some good temple stuff in here, which you don't have a lot of in this movie, which you want.
But also, again, and like I'm tired of doing this, but back in Last Crusade,
I tire of doing this.
Back at Last Crusade, like all of the things he had to do to get, they were like daring, and there was like, God, I could die doing this. The walking across the thin rock. Bridge thing, and like you could die. You see somebody get fucking killed by drinking the wrong cup.
But also, it's things that are set up in throughout the movie. Where like these are going to be the challenges. You know, figure out the riddles. Use your strength. Use your mind. All these kinds of things. And he's not. He just kind of he falls ass backwards into everything in this movie.
You're right. No, this is the Kramering of Indiana Jones adventures. Like it's just like, oh wait, oh okay, there it is.
You know, it was like, behind me the whole time. Oh, sorry, everybody.
I found it.
Oh,
all right.
How do I open this tomb? Oh, I have to hit a rock with another rock.
That's one thing I'm good at. As a girl behind this rock.
We can talk a little bit more about Ray Winstone.
Please.
Because during the big Jeep chase, Ray, you know, Indy's pissed off because Ray Winstone betrayed him. He's choking him. He's like, Indy, you're not listening to me. What I'm saying is it's like Berlin. Remember the adventure we had in Berlin? What were we? And they say it together.
Double agents.
Double agents. Also, right before that, he prefaces the whole thing with, oh, I'm CIA. Really? You're CIA too? You fucking pig.
And now...
American Culinary Institute. Our Culinary Institute of Americas.
And...
I learned to cook some grilled cheese, I did.
And he's leaving these little transmitters all over, so Cate Blanchett, who barely can do anything in this movie, is just following them.
Totally. Yeah, he just leaves these little bleeping things behind.
And it's like you don't know who's doing it at first. So you're like anyone in the audience is like, who's betraying Indy's party? Yeah, obviously.
It's so stupid. And so that makes it like what? A triple cross, by the way?
No, he says
it in the end.
He's like, what are you, a triple agent now? And he's like, no, I was just lying about being a dapper. Like,
I was also lying about hating gold, because I love gold. Oh, what a pretty little lie that was. Me hating gold.
He goes, they're in this temple, and it's the city of gold. And he's like, oh, it's finally all me gold. He's like Abu in Aladdin. He's just like, and he's just getting all these fucking pieces of gold.
What is kind of cool about that, and it sets up, you know, this great thing, and I can't believe the phrase has only been used once in this episode so far, you know, with our track record, but the ancient aliens have been using, you know, this one spot in Peru is like their, you know, base of operations, and they've been like collecting artifacts from all over the world. And it's kind of the only part in the movie where Indiana Jones uses his book learning. You know, he walks around the thing and he's like, oh, you know, this is from this part in Asia, and this is African, and this is this, and all this stuff. How did it get here? And I'm like, yeah, ancient aliens. The only interesting part about it is that it's ancient aliens, but it's about to be ruined because I'm about to see what these ancient aliens look like, and he's gonna fucking scowl at Kate Blanchett. It's gonna be horrible. He like growls.
So they get into the chamber of the lost aliens, and there's like 11 of them, and one's missing its fucking head, even though that kind of doesn't make sense because Kate Blanchett talks about aliens in Russia too at some point.
I think she mentioned like the Roswell one might have been like trying to come back for but like, so I guess there were lost missions.
But it also doesn't make any sense because the body bag that they have at Area 51, when she cuts that sucker open and whatnot, is like, it's shaped like the little gray men from the X-Files. Right. You know, like little kids in alien suit size things.
Yeah.
These fuckers are like sitting on these thrones of gold, and they're
they're like predators.
They're gigantic.
Well, they're a bunch of predators.
I guess because in Encounters of the Third Kind, there was varying heights, right? There were like bigger ones in that movie as well.
Were they when they come down and meet Richard Dreyfuss?
There were a bunch of little ones, but I think hanging in the back was like a big old one.
That is the way you do aliens, man. Like if you're going to do simple, nondescript alien, not like a Star Trek thing where you're defining races and whatever.
Or a bunch of different forehead wrinkles.
Yeah. If it's just aliens, at least have them be different heights.
Yeah,
that's a way to go.
Also,
about
think
that.
About how creepy and different and sort of like menacing those aliens were, and aliens in most things. And this, it's just like a gray roll of paper towels, I guess. It's just I don't care.
Well, it's again, it's the idea that we can't have Indy being like thwarted. You can't have him having to catch up to anybody else, because again, with the villains, like all those other villains towards the end of those, they all have the upper hand and he has to take it back at the end.
Yeah. Right.
At this point, he, like we said, Kate Blanchett is literally following a fucking trail of breadcrumbs to get to these people so that we can have a climax.
The climax being, by the way, just to sort of move forward here, is she puts this alien skull back onto the skeleton, and she's like, tell me everything. And the dude's like, okay, your brain's not going to handle it, but here we go.
And here's the weather on Rigel 7.
And probably the coolest visual of the movie, she has fucking flames coming out of her eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like, Kate Blanchett dies in this movie.
It's kind of it's thrown a bone to the people that love to see the villain. It's tradition. All the villains have horrifically amazing deaths.
But yeah, all the prior villains were horrific people. And this villain was just, you know,
kind
I
of
guess
a crooked
she would
scientist.
She would use it for evil, but I have yet to see that evil. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, but she gets her eyes set on fire, and presumably her brain melts. And then also she's sucked into this interdimensional portal.
Dimension X, Shredder, I've given you unlimited technology. And this is how you repay me, the Soviets.
That's the dumbest thing in the world, because there's no way. John Hurt's all about these aliens. He's figured it all out. And this is the point. At some point, when he's in the temple, his brain just goes from crazy to normal again, and he's a genius.
Yeah, I don't get that. You need to show something like, you know, the alien powers leaving his brain,
yep, something.
Or something. He just, the next time they cut to him, he's like, well, hello, Henry. And you're like, shut the fuck up.
And someone's like, oh, man, what are these, space? And he's like, interdimensional, point of fact. Point of fact of what? Where the fuck did you read that? A coloring book? It's bullshit. It doesn't, what, does that make it more interesting, more anything? Why is interdimensional better than space?
What? Whoa, 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 whoa. That means nothing.
Couldn't mean any less.
Where did they go? Space?
Not into space. Into the space between spaces.
Ray Winstone's death is also another best part of this
movie.
Well,
he's in the castle and he's picking up all the gold. He's putting on a tiara and he's like, I'm the king of the Mayans. And he's like loving it all so much. And like, you know, he kind of, the whole, everything's going to shit. The ship's taken off. A bunch of Soviets get sucked into the interdimensional. Who's a fudge?
And, you know, Harrison Ford runs back into the trophy room and he's like, hey, Abu, the lava's coming and the flying carpet's leaving. Let's get the fuck out of here.
And this is where Mac takes on the role of Dr. Schneider from Last Crusade, that she's still reaching for that cup.
Yep, totally. And, you know, Indy gets out the whip, which, by the way, not enough whip in this movie. There's like, some whip, not enough whip.
Not nearly enough. Minimal.
Whips up, takes out the whip, and you know, is holding on to it. And he's like, come on. He actually says to Ray Winstone, use your leg. Yeah. And it's amazing because he's like, oh, I gotta, no. I gotta use what, fucking?
Because, yeah, he just says no. He's just like, Indy, I'll be. And it's supposed to be like this touching, like, he's learned a lesson or something. He's like, I'll be all right. Like, no, you won't. You're going to get sucked into God knows what.
I got enough gold to pay the tolls I do. I'm sure this gold will be good in another dimension.
Every atom in his body is about to die a painful, separate death. Like, you're finished.
I'll be okay, Jonesy. Mac, if it comes down between you or the whip, I want the whip. I don't want that. I don't have the space aliens using the whip.
I would love it if he's like, come on, Jonesy. Pull harder, you lazy sow. Come on, Jonesy. And he goes, the name is Indiana. And fucking lets it go. Oh,
yeah. No! That's, I mean, like, yeah, Cate Blanchett's death is great, but I want to follow. I want a tracking shot of Ray Winstone going into that portal and just fucking turn it into sand or something.
Absolutely. No, you go through, it's the whole fucking Beyond Jupiter sequence for 2001.
Yeah.
Like, you just watch him grow insane in outer space.
It says a lot about us that you thought of 2001 A Space Odyssey and I thought about the scene from Willy Wonka. Where the big, when they televised the kid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is there a candy bar over there, Chomsey?
That's kind of the end of the movie.
That's, I mean, it. Yeah, you know, then they get to the top of this thing. And, you know, it is a computer graphic, but it's a cool image, I think, of the spaceship takes off. And then, like, you know, because of the part of the land that's been shifted, all this water falls in and fills up the city.
Like they were never there.
Exactly.
Scully, did you see that? It finally proved aliens. What are you talking about? I sneezed. Did I miss it?
Now that all the evidence is washed away.
Bummer. See you next week.
Cut to our good friend Jim Broadbent sweating and running down the hallway.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid because I guess he's late for this wedding, but the only reason you see him is to see that Indiana Jones has gotten his job back, but now he's like the assistant dean of the college. Which, what part about any of this made the U.S. government stop the investigation?
Exactly.
No one was there. No one witnessed anything. A crazy middle-aged woman, John Hurt, Mutt Williams were all like, yeah, 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 Neil Flynn and the FBI. He didn't do it.
So wait, you went to South America and did stuff with communists. Okay, no, yeah, you're not a communist.
You're still under investigation.
Even more so.
So yeah, let's wrap it up. The infamous wedding scene. This killed a lot of people, including me. I mean, this is just stupid.
Why can't they just be together? And it's nice, and it's a nice thing. They have to get married.
But it's not even just like they have to get married. It's a ding-dong chapel wedding. Like, it's a movie wedding. You know what I mean? Like, we can't have... I mean, you're fucking Indiana Jones. You've seen every corner of the world. You get married in a campus chapel.
And it's like, you know what? Fine, get married. But don't tease the passing of the torch.
Yes, that's... It's
that's
really,
the biggest problem.
It's shitty, and he picks up the hat. But... Okay, he spies the hat on a coat rack, maybe, and he's like, look at that hat, and he puts it on, and then, you know, maybe Harrison Ford comes over, and he's like, I don't think so, Junior,
yeah.
And that's it. No, 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 no. A ghost blows the doors open.
Marcus Brody, sir.
Junior, it's your father. You didn't invite my ghost to the wedding.
Now we need a Jones and Mutt Williams to be Ghostbusters. My old man is stuck in the present. He needs to go to the afterlife.
He was stuck in the space between spaces.
The aliens have him hostage. And Marcus Brody.
Indy, your friend's really stupid. He's always talking about gold.
Marcus Brody, he'd get lost in his own interdimensional void.
You're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
Princess Peach.
That's the end of the movie, man. Harrison Ford gives a real fuck you look to Shia LaBeouf, and then credits roll.
He's got a real, we'll have fucking words about this later.
Yeah, totally.
That's disrespectful.
The things I'm going to do to your mother tonight. See you later, kid. For anyone who hasn't seen this movie, would you recommend someone catch up to the franchise?
I think if they haven't seen it, they should, just to know what's what. I mean, it's decently well-paced. It's got tons of problems, but, you know, if you got an afternoon to kill.
I would just say no. I really just... And I know it's not really like fanboy, like you broke my heart kind of crap. I just don't think it's a movie that warrants you to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, either from... Because you like those movies, you want to see where the characters end up. It's not really the characters you love. And it's not a movie that's really entertaining.
Yeah, I know. When I recommend it, I'm like, so you can argue about it.
Oh, I mean, no way. No way. I mean, what Steve said, obviously. And it's also, you now have the choice. Like, if it's in theaters, I have to see it because I want to see Indiana Jones on the big screen.
Yeah.
That's half the fucking point. But if I'm, like, on TBS, it comes on one day, and therefore it's 3.5 hours long. I don't know of anything here that I would feel like you need to know to if they were to make another Indiana Jones, or God forbid reboot it. I don't think there's anything here that you would need to go into the next one. Like, I think if you just ended on The Last Crusade, you'd be like, okay, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I side more with Eric. It's a totally fine hungover Sunday afternoon movie. And, you know, for God's sake, people, keep yourselves relevant. Stay educated. No, I kid. But, I mean, I really don't have too many problems with it. I understand it's a bad movie. We all instantly agreed to do this as the second anniversary episode. There wasn't any hemming and hawing over it. Like, it is what it is. It's a shit movie that has some decent action scenes. And, yeah, you know, if you're catching it on maybe an HBO, or you borrow it from somebody, or it's streaming. I think it was streaming for a while. I mean, it's not a complete waste of time, and it is the novelty of seeing that character. But the unfortunate thing is, when the credits roll, that's, you realize that's exactly what it is. It's a novelty. Like, it's not, you know, right. I haven't seen yet whether or not they're selling like the original three on Blu-ray outside of the 4-box set. But I'm not getting them on Blu-ray until they are. You know what I mean? I don't need that in my house ever.
Yeah, that's about as bad as I remember it, the movie, that is.
You know, I've ridden the Staten Island Ferry a lot, and every time I'm on it, ever since The Dark Knight came out, I think of that unnecessary scene in The Dark Knight. That adds 24 minutes to that movie.
Yeah, you know what? Like, let them all just kill each other. Get on with it.
I definitely needed that extra 24 minutes in that 2.5-hour movie.
But, dude, you have to know that Zeus Lister...
Sure.
Is a man, even though he's a criminal.
Yeah.
He's a man. He's a human being.
He's aware of the crimes he's done, and he's ready to, you know, go to Valhalla for it.
Yeah, Jesus, man. Whatever with that sequence.
It's so unnecessary, and it's such a perfect, almost perfect movie except for that. I know people are like, but actually that is a scene. It's actually almost a
it's
perfect.
It's going to exemplify how the Joker was willing to go to such extremes to...
Yeah, no, we get it.
Man cut his fucking mouth open. I'm pretty sure he's pretty extreme.
There's that... At the end, like, you know, Batman's like, it's like this It's a Wonderful Life ending where it's like, everyone's not as terrible as you. It's like a reverse It's a Wonderful Life.
Fuck you, Mr. Potter. I'll burn your goddamn house down.
Mr. Potter would be Batman. He's got all the money.
But he wouldn't then, like, you know, sacrifice his body for the citizens of...
That's why he's crippled.
Jimmy Stewart would be Daredevil. Right?
Yeah. No, Mr. Potter is a perfect the Penguin.
Oh, yeah.
He looks like the Penguin, too. He's
got pot in his name already.
Cobblepot! Yeah.
Mr. Oswald Cobblepotter. All right, so clue for next week's rerun.
Rob Schneider.
Oh, shit. So that could be a couple of things.
Rob, I think you mean Schneider. Sweet Robbie Schneider.
Sweet. That's what goes on in my brain every time I think about Rob Schneider, which I don't know. This is something. We're recording these bumpers months in advance. Do you think by the time this airs, anyone in this room will have seen Joe Dirt 2?
No.
No. No way. No.
Dude, did you guys see the preview for it? There's time travel in it.
Great.
Well, thank God. Thank God for that, at least.
He travels through time.
You know what? I'm not going to watch it, and it'll be like I went through time to, you know, ahead of watching it.
Oh, you skipped it.
Yeah, I skipped it.
I see.
And you know what's strange is, like, I haven't seen Rob Schneider in forever, and then I've been catching up on Inside Amy Schumer, and he just does, like, random one part. He doesn't even get a joke. He's just there.
Is he credited as Sweet Robbie Schneider?
Robert Schneider, I believe.
What a fucking ass. What an absolute ass.
Is Dennis Miller in that new one or no?
In Joe Dirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's looking like he took the Marshmallow Express to Puff Town.
Chugga, 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 chug.
Fuck Dennis Miller. why are the three of you shocked that I just made fun of Dennis Miller being kind of fat?
We're pissing on graves that we hate movies, I guess. Rob Schneider, Dennis Miller. Well,
do you think by the time this airs, Dennis graves, Miller will be dead?
Do not worry about Dennis Miller.
That's it. You just sealed his fate.
So until next week, where it's something about Robbie Schneider, I'm Andrew Gubin.
Chris Gavin.
Great sister.
You didn't say that.
Enjoy the summer.